This is the day when the Jewish leaders, the people that God had entrusted to lead his people, this is the day when they finally got their way. They finally got what they wanted. Jesus was crucified. He was dead and he was buried. If we only look at the events of Friday, guys, we're going to leave here tonight a most miserable lot. However, we know something they didn't know. You see, we know Sunday came. And we know what happened when Sunday came. We know about the one that was dead, but is now alive. We know about his victory. We know that Jesus has won. So I want to talk with you tonight for a few minutes about this Jesus that says, "Take heart, my son." We hear him say that a number of times in the scripture. The first place that I'm going to call your attention to is Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And it says, getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Take heart. Some translations use the words, "Be of good cheer. Be encouraged." This is like saying, experience the joy of the Lord. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to live our lives with the joy of the Lord. It is, in fact, a part of our heritage. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of being a child of God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So I thought about this a little bit, and I wonder sometimes, why is it that God's people don't seem to have the joy of the Lord in their lives? You know, sometimes we go around and our faces are 10 miles long. And sometimes instead of saying hello, we say, Or worse. Why is it people don't have the joy of the Lord in their lives? Well, I've identified three or four things that I want to share with you. First of all, I believe that Christian people don't have the joy of the Lord in their lives because Satan is against it. He does not want you to experience, he does not want you to display the joy of the Lord in your life. It upsets him when God's people are joyful. And he's going to do everything in his little bag of tricks to keep you from experiencing that joy. Secondly, we need to understand that people don't experience the joy of the Lord because sin blocks it. Sin in the believer's life blocks the joy of the Lord from being in its fullness. I want you to think about that little three-letter word, J-O-Y. Jesus. You, nothing in between. That's joy. That's the joy of the Lord in our lives. Thirdly, I think that there's a lack of faith in people's lives, and a lack of faith hinders the joy of the Lord. I must trust him if I'm going to experience any joy, any peace, any encouragement, I must trust him. That means that I must trust him that he knows better than I know. I must trust him that he knows more than I know. I must trust him that his way is more right than my way. I must trust them that he loves me more than I can understand, and that every single thing he does in relationship to me is for my good. Some days that's hard to trust. Some days that gets real painful and real difficult. But if I trust him, I will find myself enjoying more of the joy of the Lord in my life. And finally, I think that people don't experience as much of the joy of the Lord in their lives as what maybe we ought to and as what God wants us to, because there's a lack of prayerfulness in our lives. In a room full of preachers, if you sit down and start discussing things, and we start getting honest with ourselves and with one another about how our walk with God is, and where we need to improve, the greatest percentage of people in that room will tell you their prayer life needs to improve. And if that's true in the lives of pastors, I wonder how it is in the lives of others. I know we have some great prayer warriors. And some people, I think, from the time their eyes open in the morning until they have that last waking thought at night, are actually in an attitude of prayer. But for most of us, it's not like that. But that ongoing, that open communication with God, that speaking in, revealing our hearts and hearing his heart and yielding to his voice as he speaks to us, therein is joy. As I said, Jesus tells us multiple times during his ministry to take heart or to be of good cheer. You know, it's Friday. But we should take heart because we have his pardon. Matthew 9:2 says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Wow. How encouraging is that? How does that make you feel to hear the Son of God speak to his children, to those that trust him and that believe in him and express their faith in him? How does that make you feel to know that he says, your sin is forgiven? Romans 5:11 says, "We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have reconciliation." We've been brought close. We've been brought into the presence of God the Father through Jesus Christ because our sin is forgiven. It was a terrible day that Friday. But we can take heart tonight because Sunday came. And we've been able to experience that reconciliation through the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul talked about. It's Friday, but take heart. We have his power. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it takes power to live in this old wicked world today. Sometimes it takes power to get yourself up out of bed in the morning. But I want to tell you, there's all kinds of power that the Bible tells us about. In this particular case, there was healing power. Matthew 9:22, it says, "Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, 'Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And instantly the woman was made well." Wow. Instantaneously she was made well. Healing power associated with her faith. You know, healing power is so absolutely amazing. Some of us have had times in our lives when we have been extremely sick. We've had times in our lives where the disease and the problems in our bodies, where if God didn't do something, our next breath was about to be in glory. And yet the Spirit of God, for reasons sometimes known only unto Him, the Spirit of God has caused your body to recuperate and give you strength and to heal you to a certain level wherein He might continue to use you for His glory in His kingdom. We need to take heart because we have that healing power. But it's not only healing power that we have. There is power to witness. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what I've come to understand? It takes the power of God to be able to tell a lost person the good news about Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we stand there and tremble in our boots that we're confronted with an opportunity to tell somebody how much God loves them and what Jesus did for them. It takes the power of God to be able to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't want to hear it. It takes the power of God to share the gospel with someone who may be willing to listen. Not only hearing power and witnessing power, but there's also the power to serve. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Him. Listen to this. This is so good. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because, get this, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Do you know what that means? That means, guys, that Jesus Christ trusts you to be His hands and His feet and His mouthpiece here on planet Earth. He trusts you to make sure that people who don't know Him have the opportunity to be introduced to Him. He trusts you to minister to the hurting hearts all around you. And I'm going to tell you, church, you do a great job of that. You do such a good job of ministering to the hurting lives all around you, whether they be people that are a part of this church, whether they be families that are connected with the church, or the hundreds of people that will never come through those doors that you minister to on a regular weekly basis. But see, the whole thing about it is, this is something that God has trusted Lena Vista Baptist Church to do, and you have embraced that. And He has given you the power. He has judged you faithful and has appointed you to serve because of your faithfulness. He doesn't bring people with needs to us because we don't care. He brings them because you're faithful in serving. And so He's appointed us to that task. But not only the power to serve, there is keeping power. Got to get this. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what? There's not a demon in hell that has the power to take God's children away from Him. Satan himself does not have the power to snatch you out of the hand of our God. He has given us keeping power, and He has given us power over weakness. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, you know this one, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, listen to what Paul says. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You got that? Power in weakness. Now, I'm going to tell you. This is why. Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is why I tell people about a failed quadruple bypass. This is why I tell people, the doctors say, I've got 5 heart blockages that we just treat with medication because that's all we can do with them. This is why I want people to know what's going on inside of this body so I can explain to them and so they can see that there is power in my weakness, and that power comes from the living God. It don't come from this old white boy. And say that, all right. Anyhow, take heart. It's Friday, but take heart. We not only have His power, we have His presence. Matthew 14:27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. In the storms of life, we are not alone, folks. Jesus is with us. Jesus came walking on the water in the storm. He said to them, take heart, be of good cheer. It's me, don't be afraid. We have the power of His presence. Stood by the bedside of dear sweet saint of God last week as her earthly life was drawing to an end. And there was one thing she wanted me to know. And she told it to me several times last week. I love my Lord. I love my Lord. Now she knew her body was dying. But the witness of her spirit and the witness of her words told me that she was experiencing the power of His presence. She was not afraid. She was not alone. She was not anxious. She was not worried. She was not scared. Perfect peace in the power of His presence. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, therefore, there is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Exodus 33:14, and He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Wow. And of course, we all know Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's power in the presence of the Lord. And I think the songwriter knew it when he penned those words that says, take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night. Lead me on to the light. Hold my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. Power in the presence of of God as he spends his time in our lives. Guys, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And because Sunday came, we know that we can depend upon all of the promises that he made throughout his earthly ministry. Because Sunday came. Promises like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Promises like, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It was about 4 o'clock Sunday morning past when Jesus came and took Loni by the hand and embraced her and took her home to be with him, as he had promised he would do. Sunday came. Sunday came. I guess I have to ask you a question. And I think I know the answer, but the question is simple. Has Sunday come in your life? Do you have the assurance of eternal life? If you were to die tonight, are you sure you would spend eternity in heaven? Father, we can't be thankful enough for the suffering and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, how we rejoice that Sunday came. How we rejoice that he didn't stay in that grave. They put him there, but he didn't stay. Just like we put Loni's body in the grave today, but even though she's not there, that body's not going to stay either. God, thank you for today. Help us to surrender today and tomorrow and all of our tomorrows to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The same.